Well, I have to tell another story. I think Matt sensed that the interview went well. And at the end of the interview, he said, "Mark, what's your time frame?" And I gave him some bullshit. Excuse me. But I was like, "Well, you know, I believe in hire slowly. We're going to move forward with all deliberate speed." And so I said, "We'll get back to you." And then when they left, that's when we started saying, "I liked him. Do you like him? We all liked him." So it was the very next day.
Mark Murphy, working blue across state media, letting one by the goalie there. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios. That's Chuck Freeman. I'm Bart Winkler. Mike Clemens was in the room, joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good morning, Clem.
Hey, Clem.
Morning, boys. You know, Mark Murphy's a pretty sharp guy. And when he did that, I almost thought, this guy's so confident in control right now. It's like, yeah, let's just let this one fly. Because he's fully aware he's statewide on every radio and TV station across the state when that happened. But so he comes in with Brian Gutekunst, the general manager, and they introduce Matt LaFleur. And Gutekunst talked about the process of, you know, narrowing it down to this guy as the next head coach of the Packers.
I think a lot of this, too, is like Mark said, we spent a lot of time, you know, vetting these candidates. And obviously there's an interview part of that, you know, but there's a lot more to that, too. You know, we have resources throughout the league, contacts. And so, you know, that's as big a part of it as anything.
That's what I love about these guys, man. They're so honest.
Mike, I'm glad you decided you wanted to hear from Brian Gutekunst first, because that's all that he really said. He barely talked in this thing yesterday. And my theory that I want to float to you, because I floated to Michael Cohen, he was not so much, and Chuck isn't in on it either. But I look at that relationship between Gutekunst and Murphy, and I see a relationship that I've had with a previous boss where the guy in charge wants everyone to know he's in charge and every decision is his. So if you're a subordinate and you have a decision, you've got to make it seem to the boss like it was his decision. My theory is that Gutekunst is the mastermind here, is that he is placating to Murphy in these kind of forums, and that ultimately the LaFleur decision was his. Your insight on that, please, good sir.
If I'm on the executive board, I'm okay with this right now. Because quite frankly, you know, Goody is a scout and a little bit more of a quiet guy. And Murphy, former NFL player and athletic director and lawyer and arbitrator and all that. I mean, hey, he's kind of a powerful speaker that way. And Goody plays it, you know, really safe. He's a really approachable guy. Whereas, you know, we all know that Ted is an odd duck, you know, a unique guy, extremely smart, but just, you know, different to get to know. So Goody is a down-to-earth guy, loves talking football, and a grinder. So I'm okay with this setup, and even if Murphy is... And Murphy took over maybe because, you know, he feels like, look, man, it's my job to get another Super Bowl. I'm just as much to blame as anybody else. And if you want to blame Bob Harlan, maybe he made a mistake by giving Sherman the GM duties. And that's why Favre probably never got a second Super Bowl, or didn't, you know, at least when he was younger. So Gutekunst talked about the search. Now, I've heard some of your callers saying, well, hell, you know, you fire McCarthy on December 2nd, and now it's, you know, getting to the end of the season. How come these guys haven't talked to anybody? Well, these guys made it clear yesterday that, listen, the day after they had the press conference to explain why McCarthy's gone, they're into full search mode. And they talked about all the people they brought in that were on a team of staff, like Linda, the, you know, human resources person, Gutekunst, all the people in the personnel department, scouting information. They hired a firm. This is Fritz Pollard Alliance. Well, those are guys that, you know, find out if this guy ever got arrested, you know, or did something that's going to come back in a scandal from his college days, you know, like Matt Patricia did when he got hired by the Lions.
Vance Joseph, too.
Vance Joseph. Charlie Casserly is a guy who you see on NFL Network, former Texans and the Redskins pro personnel guy. And he, when Mark Murphy was a rookie safety for the Redskins, he got room with Charlie, who was a scout. Those guys have been friends for 40 years. Whenever Charlie says something on the NFL Network about the Packers, you know directly where that's coming from. So you find out that as an owner or as a team president, you're looking for a new head coach. You got all kinds of sources. You've got this NFL advisory board where you can call guys like Parcells or Dungy or former players to say, you know, have you been watching this guy's work with the Falcons, or, you know, do you live in the national area? Do you watch the Titans games, or what do you know about this guy, or, you know, people he's worked with? So there's all kinds of networking, and they did through the month of December. They went through dozens and dozens of candidate names. You know, they throw out the name Bill Cowher and Jeff Fisher and stuff like that on the board. Then they narrow that down, just like a draft board, down to 10 guys. And then, just as, and you know, you can't talk to some of these active guys, obviously, until the regular season's over with. They talked to Joel Philbin after the blowout to the Lions, 31-0 on Wednesday. And they'd already talked to Caldwell and Pagano, two former coaches.
For practice, it made it seem like Murphy's like, yeah, we got some guys here, got better at interviewing, basically saying, yeah, we're just practicing.
Yeah, and then they get on the plane. They talk to four guys whose teams are in the postseason. I think that's important to note. You know, McDaniels and Flores from the Patriots, the defensive guy, and Carmichael and Campbell from the Saints, why they had their bye week. They're on a Learjet. They're flying all over the country. At one point, the GPS kind of screwed up on them. But they talked to the Bucks' Todd Monken over the weekend, and then Adam Gase, you know, from the Dolphins. And then this last one, Sunday afternoon, they go up to Nashville and talk to Matt LaFleur. And Gutekunst and this guy just hit it off. And I sat there that whole hour in that presser trying to sort of get a feel for LaFleur, and I thought, you know what? This guy could be in their personnel department. He could be in the Packers scouting department. He's just like that John Eric Sullivan who's in charge of college scouting. I mean, kind of looks like him, too. It's kind of this low-key, it's what Murphy calls this quiet confidence about these guys, about this guy, that, you know, he seems like a nice guy and humble, and then he opens up his notebook and starts telling you about his team, and then you see the dorsal fin that this guy could be a killer, and he does his homework, and he's got some answers.
All right, now, if they didn't hire this guy, it sounds like they didn't know who they were going to hire. They didn't know where they were going to go if this guy didn't knock their socks off. What direction do they go if they don't run into LaFleur on Sunday, if that doesn't go right?
You know, that's the thing, too. And, you know, remember when I told you my gut was the profiles, is this guy's offensive, you know, late 30s, early 40s, and, you know, probably somebody maybe we haven't heard of, but, you know, it's a guy that they've done all kinds of character on. And Murphy says at the end of the day, you know, he's trying to say, you know, we're not trying to hire a guy that does the best interview. We're trying to hire the right guy. You know, a guy who's a grinder, who's going to learn. The Packers have got all kinds of things to help him grow as a head coach. But, you know, we want a guy for the long term and a guy who's going to, you know, change the culture or pick it up. They talked about that they talked to their player advisory board. There's nine players in the Packers. This has been going on for years. You know, nine different positions on the team. You got Rodgers at quarterback. You got Devontae at wide receiver. You got Clay at, you know, linebacker, Tremont back there for the secondary, Bakhtiari, Lundy. All those guys sat in a room the morning after the 31-0 loss to the Lions and told Murphy and Gutekunst, yeah, there's some complacency. There's some coaches on the staff that are phoning it in. There's some players that are phoning it in as a result. And this is what we're talking about. We're Pro Bowlers, man. We want to get to the next level, and there's 20 guys in this locker room that aren't cutting it. And that's part of the problems that's been going on here maybe the last year or two. So an open and honest conversation, you know, according to Murphy and Gutekunst about that, and they take that information and they moved on to it. The other thing is this. You talk to these guys, McDaniels and Flores, and now you get it out in the open. You get in the room and you try and find, like I said to everybody, this first interview with these guys is it's not to have you tell them tell you, well, here's how I'd fix Aaron Rodgers. It's they've got to tell you how bad do they want the job. And that's where Flores, you know, hit it out of the park. I mean, he sold them on that. Now, this Sean McVay, last year at Combine, he just blew me away. He is special. He's different. And so when the Packers played the Rams, I went out to L.A. earlier, and I talked to McVay. Listen to how McVay breaks down Aaron Rodgers.
Certainly, I know no matter who you're playing, but when you talk about Aaron Rodgers, he's going to present a lot of challenges that you find out a lot about your defense in particular and all the different things that he can present and what he does for their offense.
Sean, Rodgers has spent so much time at trying to get a defense to jump off sides, what he does with his cadence.
that has to have been a point of emphasis this week for your defense.
Absolutely. You know, and we'll be interested to see, you know, is it something where he's on his verbal cadence based on the crowd, or does he have to use his silent? You know, we're hoping that he'll have to use his silent based on a lot of Rams showing up at the Coliseum. But he's a master at that. You know, you just talk about the command and situational awareness, whether it's his cadence control, whether it's when you catch teams in a substitution, being able to jump the ball and get some, you know, shots down the field where you're getting a free five if you get the ball snapped off when they don't have, you know, when they've got more than 11 on the field. And those are the kind of things that he catches you and he sees it, and he's got total control and command, and there's an urgency where all 11 are on the same page with how they can operate. And it's impressive, you know, seeing it live when I was part of a team in Washington. We played them in the playoffs, and then you play them the next year in the regular season. And, I mean, it's something that you can't ever really mimic and emulate that in practice just because of the command that he has. But, again, great challenge, excited about that challenge, and certainly, you know, looking forward to Sunday.
I'm also glad, Mike, that you brought up Sean McVay because, yes, LaFleur has worked with him, but really this is all off the Shanahan tree, and if I'm Mike Shanahan, I'm thinking, why are we talking about the guy who was my tight end coach for 4 years in Washington when these were all my guys? I brought them in. These are my guys. It was my son. It was his guys. This is my thing. But Sean McVay, there's this like national, I guess, conversation regarding, oh, if you, I passed Sean McVay in the hallway once, can I be a head coach? So that's something that Matt LaFleur, despite Sean McVay, who could be 0-2 in the playoffs if they lose Saturday night, he's almost got to get out of Sean McVay's shadow more than maybe like Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, and let's face it, McVay hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't won any Super Bowls. He hasn't won any playoff games.
True. And I just want to point out, though, that every answer that guy gives in press conferences, when he's standing in front of position players and all that, it's just there's that energy and detail, and he gets right to the point. And good coaching is about being a good teacher, man. I mean, these guys sit in meetings for 5 hours a day. And, you know, that's the killer. You see that in those videos with Hard Knocks. Oh, by the way, I was talking to Barr last night. He picked up on something during the presser. It kind of blew past me. This is so interesting. Last year at the Combine, I learned for the first time that for years, the Packers, you know, even when they had to carry in heavy equipment, when they're interviewing a player for 15 minutes, you know, some kid out of college, they would show him video and say, well, what were you thinking on this play? Just like Gruden used to do on his old show on ESPN, and now it's all out of these with laptops. They also videotape those interviews. Well, we kind of found out yesterday, every time you're an assistant coach in the NFL and you do an interview like this with a team, there's videotape. And all these teams, these owners, share that tape. So if you're interested in this Matt LaFleur's guy, you can see the previous times when he interviewed with the Falcons and the Rams and these other organizations on what this guy's like in an interview and sort of prepare for that. Or you can go back and say, you know, is his story consistent or is he kind of, you know, beefing up the resume? And I thought that was a fascinating point by you yesterday.
So that means the interviews the Packers did, are those on tape that other teams can watch later?
There's a camera, pal. There's a go camera in there. You absolutely. And the thing is, you talk to 30 different guys, and they send out scouts to do preliminary interviews like that. But you can't, I mean, it all starts to blend together. And you might want to go back to the tape of the conversation to hear what the guys say. But anyway, you know, you want to get in the NFL, but make sure you're ready to be on camera. So I thought the turning point, so, you know, you've tapped into what Shanahan taught these guys. I think Kyle Shanahan has got a lot of potential. McVay, like you say, Chuck, has won a thing yet, but he's been pretty exciting, you know, in this meteoric rise. So if LaFleur is anywhere close to those guys, and I asked Matt yesterday, so this is a big turning point in your life, man. You go from Saginaw Valley State quarterback throwing passes to Revell Martin, the old Packer wide receiver, and then you break into the NFL after spending a year with Chip Kelly as a quarterback's coach at Notre Dame. And, you know, every year, man, it's a fast rise, and he quits the Rams. That team, everybody knew last year, that these guys got a shot at the NFC next year. He quits the Rams, gives up a shot at maybe a Super Bowl ring to go to the Titans, become an offensive coordinator, just so he can show employers, I've had at least a year of play calling experience. I said, that's a big turning point in your life.
It would have been easy to stay in L.A. I mean, you look at the roster and you look at the success they're having there this year, and it certainly could have been easy to stay there. I took the risk because I knew that I needed to get out of my comfort zone and grow as a coach. And, you know, the lessons I learned this year, I learned that football is not always easy. You better navigate through some adversity, and I was proud of that. You know, we went 9-7, so it certainly didn't live up to the standards that we'd have liked. Certainly, anytime you're not making, you didn't make the playoffs. I mean, that's what we're judged by, is the wins and losses. We had an opportunity to have a play-in game in the last week of the season, and unfortunately didn't get it done. So, but I know that I would not be the coach I am today without having those experiences of this past season and just facing all the adversity that we went through.
So he said after his, or during his press conference, that after the press conference he was going to get the work right away. What do you think his first or second order of business is?
Coaching staff. Is he going to keep Pettine or not? Mm-hmm. And I don't know who he's bringing for offensive help yet. And he's got to look for special teams coordinator. But here's the point. Those guys, Murphy, Gutekunst, and Russ Ball. I was kind of surprised about when I heard, I think Michael Cohn booked that story of the weekend, that Russ Ball was traveling with all these guys as well, the vice president of finance, doing the interviews. You go to interviews, 10 guys on the road, and then Sunday night they're going back to Green Bay, and Murphy says, well, we might be a little punch drunk, let's sleep on it. But the next morning they got together and said, no, we like Matt. This guy fits. He's you know, this is the kind of guy we're looking for. We like this. But before Murphy called him and offered the job, Gutekunst calls Aaron Rodgers and says, give Matt LaFleur a call. So Rodgers gets to talk to the guy and feel him out before they finally offer him the job. How about that?
I think a lot of the press conference, there was kind of that air of, you know, we were talking about this, Chuck and I, before you got on. When Matt LaFleur interviewed with the Titans and then took the offensive coordinator job, Titans Radio sent us some cuts that we've been playing, some audio, some answers. And he talks a lot about the offense and what's going to look like and what he likes to do. And he wasn't asked really anything about that. We don't know what his philosophy with the Packers is going to be. A lot of what he was asked about was either the interview process or Aaron Rodgers. It was just such a massive cloud over that entire thing, I thought, yesterday.
Well, on the other hand, though, you know, this is like his coronation day. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, hey, his family is there and that kind of stuff. And, you know, they limited about 20 questions, and they start looking at their watches and say two more questions. So this is, you know, it's supposed to be the welcome mat. And obviously the next time we get some access to them, and I hope that's sooner than later, I hope we don't have to wait all the way until the combine. But we should be up there soon, maybe in the next 10 days if he starts putting together staff. And then we can ask him more of those questions about, okay, now that you've got your staff together, you've seen some more tape, what are some things you think you might need to do with the roster? And plenty of time to needle it. So, you know, he's not a slam dunk because of his experience. He's worked very hard to get to this point at 39 years old up through the ranks. But there's been a lot of other really smart coaches. You know, Don Shula was like in his early 30s and winning games early and taking the Colts and the Dolphins to championships 30, 40 years ago. So, they, you know, the most important part that was this is that Gutekunst and LaFleur really meshed, really got together, really got along together. And when Murphy saw that, that's when he said, we're done. These two guys get along together. They're on the same wavelength. They speak the same language. John Robinson is the GM of the Titans, longtime friend of Brian Gutekunst. Those guys were both scouts in the Southeast. This is how these things happen, man. Connections.
Mike, appreciate it. Your insight, good as always. We will talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, guys.